Testing one. Testing one, two. Every day, leaving either way, there is a train. Every day, leaving either way, there is a world you know. And there is a way to go. All right, we're going to be doing some testing here for a minute. Welcome to Enlightened Radio. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's pretty good on that. Testing 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
You know it's hard sometimes. You know it's hard sometimes. Listen.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the enlightenedradio.org. And my name is John Case, and my good friend and co-host Janet Harrison is here this morning, back from travels with, you know, helping out her family and going to Chicago to have her poem read be incorporated as a kind of a centerpiece in a drama a production in Chicago, and now she's back in town, and I am delighted to welcome her back to the program. It's her program, really. And while she's gone, I do things like play Richard Burton reading The Haunting of Hounds, or Christopher Lee doing The Raven, which was quite a thrilling performance. And you may remember Christopher Lee. He played Dracula in a number of films, but and had a voice to match. But anyway, Janet is back, and we can, you know, return to some professionalism here in the programming. Anyway, I'm going to have her do the introduction and tell you what is going on with the poet of this week. Okay, Janet, hi.
Okay, the poet of this week is Dan Albergati. And Dan Albergati has a B.A. 1986 and an M.A. 1988 in English from Clemson University in South Carolina. He went on to receive a Ph.D. in English Literature from the University of South Carolina, 1995. After teaching at the university level for a few years, he returned to school once more, this time to earn an MFA from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, 2002. Currently, he is professor and chair of the Department of English at Coastal Carolina University in Conway, South Carolina, where he also edits an online journal that he founded, Waccamaw. He is the author of two poetry chapbooks, Karen's Manifest and The Use of the World, Unicorn Press, 2013. Additionally, he has published two full-length poetry collections, The Boatloads, BOA Editions, 2008, which was chosen by Edward Hirsch as the winner of the A. Poland Junior Poetry Prize, and Millennia Teeth, Southern University Press, 2014, which was chosen by Rodney Jones as the winner of the Crab Orchard Series in Poetry Open Competition. He's been published in Best New Poets, 2005, and in 2008, his poems, What They're Doing, was chosen for a Pushcart Prize. His other honors include a fellowship at the Virginia Center for Creative Arts. In an interview published in Story South, Daniel Cross Turner asked Albergati what he thought of the future of poetry was. Dan Albergati replied, "More poetry. A series of heartbreaking disappointments and frustrating failures. Charlatans rewarded, and geniuses dying unknown, their work forever lost. Despair, tears, syllables silent in the void, and the salvation of the human race." While his first book, The Boatloads, was written in free verse, his second collection contains many formal poems. This week's featured poem, Is It Okay If We Don't Oscillate Tonight, from Millennial Teeth, Southern Illinois Press, 2014, is a sonnet composed entirely of questions. Is it okay if we don't oscillate tonight? Is it okay if we don't oscillate between self-forgiveness and self-loathing? Between the power to change things and fate? Between simple nakedness and clothing? Is it okay if the dull pendulum doesn't swing from one side to the other tonight? If there's only a steady hum and sleep and no thoughts of the dead mother? Could we escape self-scrutiny tonight and find a tiny precipice of peace? Is that allowed? Could we shut out the light and rest our face on our wife's shoulder, please? Could we, tonight, just listen to the weak, droning whir of the fan and not its creak? And I've been including writing prompts for the week in my series the last few times, and the writing prompt for this week is to write a poem composed entirely of questions, including the title.
Is it okay if we don't oscillate tonight? Boy, that's a great question, right?
Yes.
And it, heart, I mean, there's so many circumstances in which it would be interpreted in so many diverse ways that, you know, including the always present, you know, sexual connotations, et cetera.
Yes.
But nonetheless, but there's so many others. It's like
yeah.
Harmonics, right?
Yeah.
That's great. I love it. So just take the form in particular of asking questions and why. You know, that poem, one of my favorite poems that Carol and I always love so much, is Afraid So, right? Remember that poem by Jean Beaumont or something like that? And it's about, is the runway icy? Is the gun loaded? Is the this?
No, I don't know
is
this
the
poem.
That? Is the that?
Yeah.
It goes on, very long set of questions, and the top, but it never answers, but
yeah.
the title of the poem is Afraid So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So kind of a similar technique. And I in this one, it's interesting that he did it kind of like, what's that, a sonnet.
It is a sonnet.
It is a sonnet, yeah. So it's a... Interesting.
It's got
makes it shorter than
got three quatrains and a couplet.
And a couplet at the
14
end.
14 lines.
And it, but a question like a poem like that, I've seen them go on longer.
Yes.
Use different forms. Something about the iteration of questions. There seems to be, the longer you can do it and get the more of a kind of a crescendo of resonance, right, out of it, then the better, right? Is that sort of, it's a little bit of performance in it, inside it, right, that you're sort of hearing. Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to give you two examples from Pablo Neruda's Book of Questions. And he doesn't title these. These are just titled in Roman numerals, which I'm not going to try and decipher right now.
Okay.
but the first starts out with this great question. Where is the child I was still inside me or gone? Does he know that I never loved him? And that he never loved me? Why did we spend so much time growing up only to separate? Why did we both not die when my childhood died? And why does my skeleton pursue me if my soul has fallen away?
Oh, boy, yeah.
That's from Pavel Neruda's Book of Questions, which is a whole series of short poems composed entirely of questions.
So, yes, very short. Well, of course, Neruda was... it's almost like my question is answered in the inverse. Thank you.
And I have one more Neruda, and then I'll go back to Daniel Abergati. And I just really picked these almost at random because these questions are so fabulous in this book. Who can convince the sea to be reasonable? What's it get from demolishing blue amber, green granite? Why so many wrinkles and so many holes in the rock? I came from behind the sea. Now where do I go when it cuts me off? Why did I close the road falling into the sea's trap?
Ooh, yes. Very nice. Very nice.
So those are two more examples of poems composed entirely of questions.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a good opportunity, right? If you want to write a poem today, to choose a format where, okay, the form is chosen for you, suggested, you know. Sometimes that can make it easier to get your pen onto the paper. You know, think of, here's a thought experiment. As you're going into work today, if you're not the boss himself, think of all the questions you've never asked but like to ask your boss. You know, I don't know. That could be a starting point. Well,
it would be
a
great title. Except I suggested that the title should be a question, but questions I've always been afraid to ask is a great title for a poem.
Anyway, so what's next, Janet?
Okay, this is a poem that he wrote about Jack Gilbert. Who was a fabulous poet, late Jack Gilbert. He died a few years back. And it's called Years and Years and Years Later. From this distance, he can see that the man is not Jack Gilbert, and yet he is not yet himself. Being himself would not be better than being Gilbert. Only Gilbert is more Gilbert than Gilbert. Failure is better than success in the same way that this poem is still getting at something as it descends into parody, elegy, and palpitance at once. We die and are put into the earth forever is a line directly stolen from Gilbert's Tear It Down. Putting in this poem means neither success nor failure, nor larceny. People need to read it even if its magnitude of beauty is too difficult for people. When I spoke with Jack on the telephone to invite him to my university next fall, he mostly wanted to talk about my Italian name, to ask about my poems. He wanted to know what I wanted from poetry. I said I'd like to say something to someone born 200 years from now. I think he approved, or I may have just heard his enormously generous spirit smiling. After his summer in Greece with Linda, he could not remember having ever talked to me, and told my colleague who called to make travel arrangements that he had never heard of our university. Today, the woman I love rejected my artificial soul. What is it we want from poetry? When Jack Gilbert and I have been put into the earth forever, what will it mean if somebody reads Tear It Down, or Years and Years and Years Later? Is there still time to insist? Let my heart be feral, too wild for every woman I love. This poem, Jack, is as helpless as crushed birds, and still I say with you, nevertheless.
I like the close.
Yes.
It's friendly. In a friendly argument.
Jack Gilbert was kind of a renegade poet. He won the Yale Younger Writers Award, then he absconded to Greece for a while, Greek islands, and lived with the poet Linda, I can't remember her last name now. I'm blanking on it, for a while over there.
What about violence?
No, renegade.
Oh, now wait a minute. Oh. the concept of a renegade poet is giving me a little bit of
Well, I mean, he wasn't
trouble.
Part of the poetry establishment. He didn't teach. He didn't do all the things that most poets do.
Oh, I see.
He won this major award, then he went and lived on the Greek islands for...
Oh, he's kind of like the guy that wrote that novel and then went to a Greek island and came back as a folk singer. Leonard Cohen. Yeah, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he did that. Claimed he indulged in, you know, the world of sensuality and then came back to Buddhism or something.
Yes.
Anyway, so. Okay. Jack Gilbert, huh?
Yes.
So he must have known him.
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so did he ever come back to poetry? After his first...
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, he wrote several other books.
Oh, okay. All right. So he didn't completely lose his talent. You know, a lot of times I think the artistic imagination gets crowded by externalities so much
mm-hmm.
that that's attention, right? You know, if I just had some peace of mind and could be by myself a little bit, I could figure out how to do this. I could get this thing done. I could do something, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm distracted every day or you know, that kind of thing. I think there is some tension there. Don't you feel that
yeah.
sometimes? You know, I mean, we all do, I'm sure, in some way. But, okay. It's a nice testimony for a friend. It really
yes.
is. You know, I like that. Yeah. So if you can have a good friend, you can be a good person. And if you can be a good person and a good poet, my God, what a gift.
And the next poem in this set is called No Beginning, and it's a pantoon, which is a form that was derived from a Malay form, actually. And it's got repeating lines.
Like Malaysian?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's got an epigraph. The pantoon always ends with its beginning, from a professor's discarded notes. No beginning. In this end is no beginning. Though you still live as though it's so and spend your days avoiding sinning, thinking you have some place to go. Though you still live as if it's so, there's no beginning at the end. Thinking you have some place to go, you always fear most to offend. There's no beginning at the end. There's not a spring after the fall. You always fear most to offend a God that's real not there after all. There's not a spring after the fall, and all those answers long believe a God that's not there after all cannot be willed, cannot be retrieved. To all those answers long believed, you cling as if your very lives cannot be willed, cannot be retrieved. But in the end, a truth revives. You live as if entire lives must be spent avoiding sinning. But in the end, a truth arrives. In that end, there's no beginning.
Yeah, that's a cool form. It sounds kind of complicated. Does it follow the form?
Yes, it does.
Pretty. Okay.
Yeah, the second and third line of the poem become the first of third line of the second verse. And he actually did the rhyming, which is mm-hmm. most people don't normally bother with the rhyming in the poem.
And it's a great opening. I mean, it really is. You know, no beginning. In this end is no beginning.
Okay, those three poems were from Millennial Teeth.
Wow. That's a cool poem.
Yeah.
I ought to put that on the website today, just for the heck of it. I like It's Okay If We Don't Oscillate, too. I like that one, too. All right, so you want me to play a little tune
yes.
and come back?
Yeah.
Or do you want to go head on into...
No, we're going to come back for a form that he invented. Four poems from an invented form.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I think I'll do...
How you doing? This is cool. All right. I'm going to try to hear all of you tonight, but it might not happen. So. Burn it down. Somebody's already burning it down. It's smoky in here. I'm going to kick off, play a few acoustic things. I'm going to bring some guys out and play here in a minute. But Thank y'all for being here. I really appreciate it. Yeah. I'm ready to come home.
Welcome back to the Poetry Show, broadcast here on Enlightened Radio at www.enlightenedradio.org. And today is the Poetry Show. You're listening to Janet Harrison, and we're talking about the poetry of Dan Albergati, right? Mm-hmm. And a very interesting poet. We just got introduced to a pantoon, which is, I love these esoteric, to me anyway, forms that are that sometimes, you know, generate a surprising resonance, and work as intended. So coming up next, I guess we have some forms that Dan Albergati devised himself, or at least innovated upon.
Okay, this form got dubbed by a friend of his the Albergonet. And what it is it starts out with a two-syllable stanza, and then the next stanza has four syllables, and then six syllables, then eight syllables, and then it goes up, and then it decreases until the penultimate stanza is four syllables, and the last syllable is the last stanza, last line is two syllables. but it rhymes in couplets. So it's a very odd little difficult form. And I have four of these I was going to read. These are all from Millennial Teeth, which was published by Southern Illinois Press. And the first is called Invocation. O Lord of severed cord and flesh, Lord of fever, sweat, dementia, and meat cleaver, Lord of curtains set ablaze of birding, Lord of tumors, of remission, of returning, Lord of time and time alone, Lord of space and empty space, Lord without body, without soul, Lord without feet or face, Lord of statistics, Lord of bodies, Lord of death, Lord of breathless hope, Lord of hopeless breath, Lord of every deafened ear, I know you'll never hear in vacant air this prayer.
Wow. Yeah, he's got a beef with some of religion.
Yes, he does. He sort of teeters on the edge of faith. He talks about his verses being God-haunted.
Yes. Well, but he sometimes treats it like, you know, the house is haunted.
Yes.
So, yeah, go ahead.
And this next is called Your Home is at Risk If You Don't Keep Up Repayments. And it's got an epigraph. Idiot, slow down, slow down. Which is the final line of OK Computer in 1957. Your home is at risk if you do not keep up repayments. Slow down until you drown in status as the world grinds to a halt. Its oceans whirled all around cities, towns, and villages. All kings, queens, jokers, stockbrokers, and savages. And everything's erased, quiet, peaceful, and finally clean. All dingy urban buildings washed to a metallic sheen. Slow down, look around, and appreciate the end that you brought on. And try to apprehend one more gorgeous poisoned sunset, its chemical palette peeling away the day.
Slow down, China. It's hard to slow down. Idiot, slow down. What is OK Computer? Is that a poem or a book? Or
I think it's a book, but I'm not sure. I didn't look it up. I should have.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. For a minute, I thought it was something a computer said.
Yes.
Okay, but anyway. And this is from a book called Millennial Teeth, huh?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a very interesting form. It's pleasant to read, you know. It works. It's interesting. Yeah. Now, does he write some free verse?
Yes.
As well?
So his first book was entirely free verse, and I'm going to be reading some for the Boatlands later.
Okay. So it's not like he's addicted and can't write a poem unless he's got a funky form to put it in or something. Okay. All right, go ahead.
And this next one is called "He Believes He Is Some Sort of Savior." He does. He says he was, in one or another his lives, son of a virgin mother and a father whose heart was rough as God's. He says his father taught him how to feel a rod's swift arc through the air above his back. Now he's dead, he says. The therapist indulges such stories, his excesses. It's part of getting well to craft outlandish tales, she thinks, more healthy than those caustic whales. The desperate rending of his soul. He says he can control the tempest waves. He saves.
Now that's interesting. Do you, having participated in counseling and being married to a psychiatrist.
Yes.
Okay. The perceptions of the counselor and the person being counseled, okay,
mm-hmm.
That
the perceptions of the counselor in a lot of ways, you know, are a separate universe from the person being counseled in a way, right? On the other hand, you know, if you go to see the same person over and over again for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have these conversations, then there has to be, you know, real connections, not just professional ones, yeah. You know, obviously, right?
There's,
you know,
some research, and I actually shouldn't say this because I'm not sure about that, part of what getting well has to do with the connection between the therapist and the person being counseled, yeah. that the technique being used is less important than the connection.
Right, because there's some sort of trust, and yeah. that was an important part of getting anywhere, right? Yeah, okay, gotcha.
And the last poem is another Albergonnet. It's Final Fanfare, and it comes from Hamlet. It says, "Go bid the soldiers shoot," which is the final line from Hamlet. Final Fanfare. Bid them sing an anthem to a flat, dead march tune, to mark the ends that come too soon. You come most carefully upon your hour, Francisco jokes. But late or early, we know our time is coming. So bid the soldiers shoot again, and bray the trumpets, sound the kettle drum. Yes, let the fading day be filled with wine and laughter, and by God with guns, to shake the sky and make the dying sun's last rays tremble over the dead. There's nothing to be said, so let's expire with fire.
Well, that's a very close reading of Hamlet, actually, when you think about it.
So those four poems were Albergonnets from Millennial Teeth.
Wow. You know, he's great. He's really great. Did you discover him recently, or have you known about him for a while?
I found him, actually, I think, on Garrison Keillor's thing. He had the last poem I'll read, Things to Do in the Belly of the Whale. And right. I really liked that poem, and then I tracked down two of his books and started reading his interviews. He gets very fascinating interviews.
All right, let's do a couple of little Jackson Browne tunes, take a little break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Regret and make it work with grandma and her grandma are sitting around heaven discussing the law. Loving that girl was not your crime. Living with that gonna take some time. Loving that girl, next thing you knew, you turned away from the thing you do. Loving that girl you couldn't see. Living without her gonna make you free. Expectations long abandoned, and the future I no longer saw my hand in. How I found you is beyond my understanding. My stunning mystery companion. I know that you don't want to be out here forever on this road. Live among the boxes where all my past lives have been stored. Maybe you're thinking of some place with a garden by the sea. Where we could slow down and you could put a little more work in on me. With all my expectations long abandoned, my solitary nature notwithstanding, you're the one who pulled me out of that crash landing, my stunning mystery companion. Long abandoned, and a life that just gets more and more demanding. There's no doubt that you're the reason I'm still standing, my stunning mystery companion.
And you're listening to Enlighten Radio, the poetry show with Janet Harrison, who's back from sojourn, and talking about the poet Dan Albergati, reading some unbelievable verse here from another guy I've never heard of, but just, you know, beautiful verse. And a guy who likes to experiment with forms as well. And so now, where are we going now with Dan's
poetry?
We're going
back to his first book, which is Free Verse.
Okay.
And I chose the first two poems in this set because there are two different ways of treating with the same subject. And I thought it was interesting to see two different approaches to it. And the first is called Moon Daughter. You smiled when you said you wanted to name our daughter Destiny, our daughter who does not exist. And you smiled when I suggested Chaos instead. But since she is not and cannot be, let us make our daughter now the nameless moon. We could expect her then to arrive each month, going from first to full, fading from last to new, our own daughter with skin as pale as every evening's light. At times her pallid face would be obscured, a perfect stone lying on heaven's riven bed, washed smooth by a slow current of clouds. But other times she would be alone in the sky, and would shine, surrounded by her ever-growing hair, gone from auburn to black, absorbing all light around her face like everything that never dies.
Ooh. Okay.
The imagery in that poem was gorgeous.
Yeah. I think, like you, I am I am drawn to moon poems. I remember one of the have never forgotten your first reading of Moon Fishing by
Liesl Müller.
And so it's very interesting to me about how other poets draw inspiration in a similar way. Go ahead. Okay, what's next?
This next is Prayer for My Daughter Who Does Not Exist. Bless you, my hollow child, lying under nothing tonight in one of those other worlds. Let there be wind, for there is no wind. Let me hear it and fear nothing for you. Bless your yawning, unreal mouth, your even breath. When you wake, will your first word be Daddy or God? Let it be God, let there be that. Bless your tiny fingers playing on my face and my hair under my skull. Let there be your soft touch, for there is no touch. Let there be the light crescent moons of your nails. Bless everything you will do in all your dreams. Dream of your father. Dream of your God. Let there be years and years and years, for there is no future. And between each world there is nothing. Let there be a prayer. Let me bless your too pale skin, your too auburn hair, your beautiful impossibility.
Wow.
So the two invocations for a child he does not have.
Does he indeed have children?
I don't know.
Ask that question a little bit. But
yeah, I couldn't find that information in his interviews. He doesn't talk much about family.
Wow.
But I thought
when was he born? I know you said that in the beginning, but
I actually couldn't find that out. But I think he's around 53 or so. I tried to guess that from when he got his degrees.
He
was 35 when he applied to UNC Greensboro.
Gotcha.
So I think he's in his early 50s.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, they're beautiful. I mean, it's a they're love poems in an interesting way, but. Well, but on the other hand, it's not. They're written as if he lost his own in a way.
This trend is longing in those poems.
Right. Okay.
And this next poem almost was Poem of the Week. Mm-hmm. It's called Revision.
Okay. All right.
And to understand this poem, you have to know that Dan Albergati is a huge fan of John Keats. and John Keats developed tuberculosis and went to Italy for trying to get a cure and died there, leaving behind the love of his life in England. So this is called Revision. After 2 weeks under the Italian sun, he would dash off a note to Fanny Braun. Weather marvelous. Fully recovered. Come soon and bring summer dresses. And she would come. She would pull his miraculous heart to her breast, and they would listen to every bird's song. The Odes would win a silly contest, and they would use the prize money to build a small house on a Greek island. They would spend the next 20 years perfecting the art of the human body. They would eat fine olives and swallow the sound of each wave's roll on the beach. They would make love under the night sky with such tense clarity that the moon would become the bright face of God. One morning, the man would pick up his pen and sit by the window and write, "I was happy to be John Keats and never write again."
Yes, that's very good. For you poets out there, or English majors as well, that's a... you know, that's one you might use for one of your term papers there. So if you're a student, that's really great. Okay, we'll play a little tune and be right back. What's coming up next, by the way, after we come back with a tune? Are we there yet? Or
I had two more sets, but I can cut them
no,
down.
No. We got plenty of time. You know, I think. Right. Okay, so let's... all right. Well, we'll play one of our theme songs here, and just for the heck of it, here we go.
Coming up behind, make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone, how far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone, on my shoulder half mile of line. Come on up the horizon. Come on up and lay your hands in mine. Come on up the horizon. Come on up the horizon tonight. Left the house this morning. Bells were ringing through the air. I was swearing across on my calling. Wheels of fire, I come rolling down here. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Catfish dancing on the end of my line.
sky of blackness and sorrow, dream of life, sky of love, sky of tears, dream of life, sky of glory and sin, dream of life, sky of mercy, sky of fear, sky of memory and shadow, dream of life, your burden fills my heart tonight, sky of longing and emptiness, sky full, a sky of blessed life. Come on up for the rise. Come on up, lay your heads in mine. Come on up for the rise. Come on up for the rise.
All around, looking up and down this train. All I gotta see is a place for me to grab hold of, and I'll be on this train and I won't be back again. I'm overqualified for any other ride I can think of. I got a PhD in sun and wind and rain. I had a reservation about every occupation I was ever on the brink of. The other day my heart got given to the rhythm of the train. Station to station, coast to coast, not that much of anything in mind. No expectations, way less than most, but I wanted to see Winslow one more time. I'm walking all around, looking up and down this railroad. I'm walking all around, looking up and down this town. I'll bid adieu to the precious few I knew here, and I'll be on my way and I won't be back around. Ladies man, he'd take her dancing with a tank of oxygen. Oh, the ladies kept him going. He'd recite for them his favorite Cohen. He specialized in western swing and zen. Station to station, coast to coast, not that much of anything in mind. No expectations, way less than most, as long as I got oxygen and wine. I keep on hearing about the disappearing ozone layer. I keep on hearing about the disappearing Greenland shells. And I keep on hearing all about the disappearing middle class. But I figure I'll be doing some disappearing myself.
Well, we're going to leave Jackson for a minute here on his second time through Winslow, Arizona. First time, I guess, was with Glenn Frey about 40-some years ago. But on his last album, he decided to return there. Anyway, welcome back to the Poetry Show here on Enlightened Radio at www.enlightenedradio.org. You'll find our player there, always at the top of the page. And usually, if, depending on how timely I am, some kind of information about what's planned today. And, of course, today we have, after the Poetry Show here, coming up at noon, we have storytelling with Fanny Crawford. And I believe she may have Eileen Evans calling in, who is a great storyteller from she calls it Afrolatian. I don't know, African-American Appalachian stories. Anyway, so that could happen. At I don't know that the phone call is completely confirmed yet, but if not, I'm sure Fanny Crawford and her able partner, Stash Ziolkowski, will tell some stories themselves and also update you on some of the great events taking place on storytelling in the area. After that, we're going to do the second book in Anne of Green Gables, which turned out to be popular. I noticed that there were people actually listening to that one last week. So we're going to keep up with that for the rest of the afternoon. And then, of course, in the evening, it's going to be bluegrass all night. That's the plan for today. And in the meantime, we'll go back to Janet and this wonderful poet, Dan Albergati, who I'm just loving. Go for it, Janet.
Okay, now the poems I'm doing in this set have some biblical or mythological references. And the first is called When the World Was Only Ocean. And this, of course, refers to the flood in Noah. When the world was only ocean. After the 40th night of rain, we awoke to a quiet and a great clear sky. The waves had already subsided to small ripples under a bright sun. And by the next dawn, no ripples, the surface perfectly still. After a week of silence, we all knew that we had been forgotten when the world was only ocean and the sky empty. None of this had been about us. The flood was about what was beneath us. We spent long, still days looking over the smooth water, afraid to meet one another's eyes, afraid to speak. At night, the servants filled the lower deck and would begin their incessant hissing. It sounded like curses from the mouth of God. One morning, the unicorns gave in to despair. They walked to the edge of the open deck, looked at each other for a moment, and dropped themselves over the side. The heavy splash they made filled the day. We watched them as they sank through water as clear as the cloudless sky. Their large bodies spiraling, heavy haunches first, their faces staring back up at us. The points of their horns traced two circles again and again, all the way down to the silty floor of creation.
Ooh. He has a great close.
Yes, he does.
He's got that, I wonder if he, when you write your poems, does the close come to you in the beginning or later, both?
Sometimes. It varies. It depends on the poem.
You know. Because you always kind of love it when it comes to you, right?
Yes.
I got to say that in the poems that I've written, which is not that many, if I manage to get one, it comes after I've started, not before, usually. But that, but I need to write more, and then it wouldn't be a good sample, using me. All right, cool. Let's do another.
And that was from the Boatlands, and this one is also from the Boatloads. Turning back. We turn back, always bowing to that urge to return, to revise, to be certain. What do we want? Everything we can never get. Like Orpheus, we turn sharply when we think we're home free, when we should know better. We should know that Eurydice's breath on our breath. What we get is darkness at the mouth of the cave, the flare of fingertips and the echoes of farewell from the depths. Like Lot's wife, we come nostalgic. Remember the salty tinge of warm skin, the endless nights of the god of desire. We've cast one last longing glance. What we get is salt in the veins and a footnote in God's grand book of ironic retribution. Like my ancestor Selena, we are defiant, running back into the house each time Sherman's troops set a new fire, succeeding three times before finding flames too large to overcome. It's February, 1865, and all this fire won't make it warm. What we get is watching our convalescent son be carried out of the house by Union soldiers to die quietly in the open mall in a freezing gale. Let us praise reckless acts, these fierce acts of futility. Let us always stop, turn back, even when we know that some cold fate, some heartless soldier, some angry God will be there, ready to turn us around, to send us forward, saying, "Don't come back."
To send us forward, saying, "Don't come back." Wow. Yeah. He's a great poet of the crossroads, you know.
Yes.
I mean, at these great decision points where it's there's no beginning and no end, and no back and no forward, or they're mixed up, you know. What's what? It's really cool.
And this last poem in the set called "Surprising the Gods" is a kind of revision too, like the poem about John Keats. And in this one, Eurydice doesn't get bitten by the snake and die. Suppose Eurydice, running through the evening field, had stepped on the adder as planned, but it was the adder that died. Eurydice's heels coming down on its upper vertebrae and snapping it at once. Imagine her stooping down, staring in wonder as the serpent twitches in small throes. What would the gods do with that? How would they rewrite the story that must be told? And would they question themselves as they recovered from their surprise, as they made her in some other way the impossibility she became the moment her beauty first made Orpheus sing?
Ooh. Well, of course. They would have rewritten the narrative, right. Absolutely.
And that last one was from Millennial Teeth.
Oh, that's great. That's so cool. when the world was only ocean, turning back and surprising the gods. Wow. Okay.
And I have four short ones to end with.
All right. Well, we can do four short. Oh, we got plenty of time. We're good here. So I'm going to do... I like this song. We'll do this one. Oh, I gotta move the volume up.
That Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing like it's gonna sweep my world away. I'm gonna stop in Carbondale and keep on going. That Duquesne train gonna ride me night and day. You say I'm a gambler, you say I'm a pimp, but I ain't neither one. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, sound like it's on a final run. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing like she never blew before. Blue light blinking, red light glowing, blowing like she's at my chamber door. You smiling through the fence at me, just like you've always smiled before. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, blow like she ain't gonna blow no more. Can't you hear that Duquesne whistle blowing? Blowing like the sky's gonna blow apart. You're the only thing alive that keeps me going. You're like a time bomb in my heart. I can hear a sweet voice gently calling. Must be the mother of our Lord. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing. Blown like my woman's on board. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing. Blown like it's gonna blow my blues away. Yo, rascal, I know exactly where you're going. I'll lead you there myself at the break of day. I wake up every morning with that woman in my bed. Everybody telling me she's gone to my head. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing. Blow like it's gonna kill me dead. That Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing through another no good town. The lights of my native land are glowing. I wonder if they'll know me next time round. I wonder if that old oak tree still standing. That old oak tree, the one we used to climb. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing. Blowing like she's blowing right on time.
I'm the instrument of joy, and to keep the good times a rolling, I'm the boy, you know the world could be your oyster, if you just put your trust in me. Cause we'll keep the good times a-rollin'. You wait and see, wait and see. I'm waiting to see. There's excitation and there's sweet disintegration. There's a few discolorations when it comes to love. You know it means the rotting juices, the kisses and the bruises. There ain't nothing he refuses when it comes to love, comes to love. And I am lifted, oh, when I am lifted, I am lifted. And when I'm up, I can't get down, I can't get down.
just needs something to blind him, something to wind him up. It won't take long to find him when it comes on to rock. Wise guys in the reading, street lights out spinning. Oh, the night is just beginning when it comes on to rock. Well, I am lifted. Ah, when I am lifted. I am lifted, and when I'm up, I can't get down. I can't get down, can't get level. When I'm up, I can't get down. Get my feet back on the ground. When I'm up, I can't get down. I can't get down, can't get level. When I'm up, I can't get down. Get my feet back on the ground. Sing the note. And I am lifted. It comes on strong, and I am lifted. I am lifted. I am lifted. And when I'm up, I can't get down. I can't get down. Can't get level. When I'm up, I can't get down. Get my feet back on the ground. I said that when I'm up. Get my feet back on the ground. When I'm up, I can't get down. I can't get down, can't get level. I can't get down.
You're listening to Great Big C. Kind of the Canadian national anthem now. This song was requested by the Queen when she last visited Canada. And good morning and welcome back to the Poetry Show here on EnlightenRadio.org. And Janet Harrison is featuring the poetry of Dan Albergati, just a marvelous poet. I'm just digging the hell out of it today. And she's got her last segment up, and so she's structured them kind of interestingly today, as by theme and by form. And what's next, Janet?
Okay, a pair of poems from Millennial Teeth about opposites. Which is also a good assignment, to write a pair of poems about opposites. I'm thinking about, you know, prompting people to write more poetry, because I think it's
therapeutic, if not visionary.
Yes. Plus it's fun. This is called Inside. In the lake, the cottonmouth. In the sea, the shark. In the soil, the growing seed. In the tree, the lark. In the dark, the incense call. In the light, the trust. In the child, the weight of years. In the steel, the rust. In the dust, the memory. In the air, your soul. In my head, the unsaid words. In the diamond, coal. In the hole, your polished box. In the earth, the quake. In my blood, your vessel ran. In these lines, the wake.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
I know. Doesn't it give you chills?
It does, yes. That's my reaction to that one. That's another one that should go on the website.
Yeah.
In a way. It's
this
just
next is
perfect.
Called Outside. It's the same form.
Okay.
Out of view, more galaxies. Out of time, more light. Out of sand, the turtle's head. Out of day, the night. Out of sight, a loving God. Out of love, a sun. Out of song, the nightingale. Out of void, the sun. Out of running water, life. Out of stagnant, death. Out of ages past, a palm pulled up out of the breath. Out of method, futile search. out of myths untrue, out of other words, worlds, some hope, out of this one, you.
Boy. You know, I got to say that your organization of the poems this time is making me think about interesting ways to maybe innovate around the poetry show a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, for example, when you did like the inside opposite poems,
yes.
Right? I mean, you could see how not only yourself and maybe some of our local collaborators would also, we could do a little more of our community input a little bit if we had a thematic
yes.
kind of approach sometimes that, I mean, just think if an answer to your little provocative challenge here to
yes.
write poems on opposites, if we were able to, come back around in a month or so and then have some of the opposites.
Yes, I've been hoping to get...
That'd be kind of a nice thing to
yeah.
get started if we could have to think about that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just beautiful. Do you have any... Is that it? Are we
no.
done?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, we have two more lists.
Oh.
We go back to Boatlands, which
okay.
is his first book,
okay.
with two list poems. And the first is called Among the Things He Does Not Deserve. Greek olives in oil, fine beer, the respect of colleagues, the rapt attention of an audience, pressed white shirts, just one last second victory, sympathy, buttons made to resemble pearls, a pale daughter, living wages, a father with Italian blood, pity, the miraculous reversal of time, a benevolent God, good health, another dog, nothing cruel and unusual, spring, forgiveness, the benefit of a doubt. The next line, cold fingers against his chest, rich bass notes from walnut speakers, inebriation, more ink, a hanging curve, great art, steady rain on Sunday, the purr of a young cat, crab cakes at their favorite little place, the dull pain in his head, the soft gift of her parted lips.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that was...
Among the Things He Does Not Deserve.
Yes, you're right. Great. What a great line. Go ahead.
And then the last one I'm closing with is Things to Do in the Belly of the Whale.
Uh-huh. Okay. Jonah. Advice to
yes.
Jonah. Okay. All right.
Things to do in the belly of the whale. Measure the walls. Count the ribs. Notch the long days. Look up for blue sky through the spout. Make small fires with the broken hulls of fishing boats. Practice smoke signals. Call old friends and listen for echoes of distant voices. Organize your calendar. Dream of the beach. Look each way for the dim glow of light. Work on your reports. Review each of your life's 10 million choices. Endure moments of self-loathing. Find the evidence of those before you. Destroy it. Try to be very quiet and listen for the sound of gears in moving water. Listen for the sound of your heart. Be thankful that you are here, swallowed with all hope where you can rest and wait. Be nostalgic. Think of all the things you did and could have done. Remember treading water in the center of the still night sea, your toes pointed again and again down into the black depths.
Oh boy. That's beautiful. Thank you.
So those last two were from The Boatloads, his first book.
So we always recommend that if you got nowhere else to go, check out the Four Seasons bookstore to order your poetry books of Dan Albergati. A L B
E R
E R
G-O-T-T-I.
Al Borgatti. Okay, and thank you so much. A great poet, and I'm going to follow my new practice of getting the show up immediately afterwards here. So thank you so much, Jenna. And I don't know what we'll do next week, but we'll let you know as soon as we find out. Okay, take care of each other. It is late, but everything comes next. Thank you, Naomi Nye, for that line. Okay, another little number from Great Big Sea, kind of a Canadian national band these days. And this is called Long Life. Now, these guys from Newfoundland, they tend to sing about women a little differently than some. I don't know. Yeah, it may be good, it may be bad. I'll let you judge that. Here we go.
It's a long life, this I do believe. I never thought we'd see the end. Maybe I was just naive.